Good evening. Welcome to the Wednesday Rewind from Believers City Church. It's good to be with you all tonight. We're recapping our story from Sunday. If you recall, or if you're at the church on Sunday, we're in our Old Testament series covering Genesis chapter 22. And that's the story of where God tests Abraham and he asks him to offer his only son Isaac as a sacrifice. Before we get into the details of that story, let's pray, and then we can talk through some of the higher points, and then we can move on into our group discussions happening around the Menominee area. So let's pray. Father, thanks for loving us, and thanks for being so good to us. And we ask that we could serve you and worship you and be united together as a church community here in the Menominee area. Please use these discussions tonight, use this broadcast tonight. Pray that we could speak into each other's lives, that we could be challenged and encouraged, that we could grow together in unity, in unison, that we'd become all that you want us to be, and that we could just impact the community around us by obeying you, by sacrificing our lives for you, by serving you. So please be with us tonight, and please use this time for our good, Lord, and for your glory. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so the story from Genesis chapter 22. This is a famous story in the Bible. I think most of us are going to know it pretty well. I think it's something that can be a little bit misunderstood or misapplied, or certainly taken the wrong way for those who don't know the full context of the scripture. But in this story, God tests Abraham. Okay, he asks Abraham to offer his son Isaac. Now, this is a son that Abraham had waited 25 years for his wife Sarah to get pregnant, not for lack of trying, but he had to wait 25 years for the birth of his son Isaac. And then after that, this story is happening probably 20 to 30 years later. So during a 50-year stretch of time where Abraham waits on God, experiences the blessing of God, waits some more, God steps in and he tests him. And he tests Abraham by saying, you need to give up, you need to offer your son as a burnt offering. So there's no ambiguity here. He's asking Abraham to kill his own son. Now, I have no idea what was going through Abraham's head, at least not in the totality of it. I'm sure there was lots of wacky and crazy things that were kind of bouncing around up there. There's only one that's recorded in the Bible for us, and that's actually in the New Testament. If you look to the book of Hebrews in chapter 11, it tells us that Abraham followed this line of reasoning when God tested him. Abraham thought, okay, God promised to make a great nation through myself, through my son Isaac, and down through the centuries. Therefore, if God's still going to do that, and he's asking me to kill my son, I guess God is going to resurrect my son from the dead in order for that to still happen, to bless me in the way that he's promised. And so Abraham was very trusting of God. He didn't waver from the plan. He doesn't seem to get lost in the emotions or the sadness of it. He trusts God, and he moves forward faithfully. Our story said Abraham woke up early the next day and started making preparations to go and obey God. And so he travels to the place where God directs him with his son, with everything needed to carry out the task. The whole thing plays out, and right about the time Abraham raises a knife to bring it down on Isaac, God stops him. Okay? God stopped him short of killing his son Isaac. And that's because God didn't want Isaac to die. God didn't want Abraham to kill Isaac. He wanted him to offer Isaac. And in that way, God tested Abraham. Okay? To test his faith, to test his seriousness, his devotion, to test his obedience. God will test us in the exact same ways. Okay, it won't be the same test that Abraham went through. It's not going to be God asking us to sacrifice our children for him. This sacrifice God asked Abraham to make was a special time in all of history. Not only was it for Abraham, it was also to preview the story that would come later on, 2,000 years later, when Jesus walked the earth, that God the Father would give up his only son's life so that he would die in place of sinners and take the punishment for their sins. God would offer his son for the entire world so that they would have a means to be saved and rescued. And so the story of Abraham, the father, being asked to kill his only son, Isaac, it previews the story of God the Father giving up his only begotten son for the sake of sinners. And so this was unique to history in that regard. Okay, this would also tell us that the test for Abraham was also about a lot more than just Abraham and his immediate family. There was a lot more going on. There's a lot more impact that would radiate outward from the results of Abraham's obedience. Okay, but God will test us. He may not ask us to offer our children as a sacrifice, a mortal sacrifice. But if you're a parent, he is asking you, testing you, wanting you to offer your children, to dedicate your children back to God. He wants your life, but he wants theirs too. It's to try to keep your children in your own control, in your own plans. It can be a form of idolatry, and God's not going to have that. Now, for all the rest of us who aren't parents, but just for all Christians in general, God will ask us to give up everything to him, to give up our time, our spending, our self-centered imaginations, our wrong attitudes. God will ask us to give up our worldly understandings about the way things are. Did I mention God will ask us to give up our time? All of it. He asks us to give everything to him. And this is the two reasons why. God wants to teach us how to live, how to think, how to feel, how to act. And number two, God wants to use us for his purposes. He wants to be set apart for his purposes as an example to the world of people who are following him, so others could know how, as servants to carry out his plans, as ambassadors from the kingdom of heaven relating to a foreign nation, the rest of the world. Now, this idea of sacrifice, it makes sense to me, certainly not in the child sacrificing that Abraham went through, or a religious sacrificing. I never had to do much of that as a kid, but I played baseball growing up, and there's something in baseball called the sacrifice bunt. Okay, I'm hoping you're going to track along with this. The idea of a sacrifice bunt is the batter, that's the person hitting the baseball, they willingly give up their at-bat, either they're told to or they choose to, and they lay down a bunt. Now, a bunt would be just tap the ball very short out in front of home plate. Most likely, you're going to be thrown out at first base easily. Most people are going to see the bunt coming. But you give up your at-bat, and you lay down a bunt so that your teammates who are on the bases already, they can advance one base further. Okay, you're giving up, you're sacrificing your at-bat for furthering the cause of your team who is trying to score a run. And so you lay down a bunt and the other runners advance a base. But typically that's at the expense of your own self. You get thrown out at first. I just would submit to you that some of what God is asking of us would be similar to the sacrifice bunt. This might be cheesy. This might be a terrible example, but this is how I think of things. And I understand this. There's a greater purpose than just you. There's a greater purpose than just your moment right now. God wants to use you to further his kingdom, to advance his cause. And sometimes that means laying down a sacrifice bunt so things can advance forward. Even if it means you have to take a step back out of the limelight, even if it means you would have preferred to swing away, so there's sacrifice involved. Okay, God wants to use you is the point here. Now, all these tests in life, all the sacrifices for God, these are going to be ongoing. As we move forward with God, there's going to be deeper lessons. There's going to be harder tests, just like it was for Abraham. We'll be asked to make a sacrifice bunt from time to time for the greater good of our friends and for the kingdom of God. Now, one of the things I want to talk about tonight is we can often get stuck over-focusing on the sacrifices that we've made. Okay, these could be past sacrifices. These could be ongoing commitments that we consider to be large sacrifices. I think what happens is some of us tend to keep track of all the things we've given up, all the sacrifices that we've made, and we dwell on these things. Okay, it's almost like it becomes a list of accomplishments. We'll use these to justify ourselves. I know I'm right with God because of all I've given up. Sometimes we'll even use these past sacrifices to try to purchase freedom in other areas of our life. This goes something like this. I gave God an awful lot earlier in the year. I think now for the next couple months, I can kind of ease off. I can give God less. Okay, I've kind of paid my dues up front in the first half of the year. I can kind of coast the last half of the year. We'll use our past sacrifices to get out of making current sacrifices. That's the idea. Now, my question for us is this. Have we really given these things to God if we're still holding on to them and trying to use them for our own personal gain? Now, sacrifices are supposed to be offerings to God. They're supposed to bless Him, not benefit us. Abraham could have made this great sacrifice to God and then assumed that God was going to owe him. Okay, that's not how it worked. God determined to bless him after he made the sacrifice, after he passed the test. Or Abraham could have assumed that others owed him. Look how great of a man of God he is. Look how humble and godly he is. Abraham didn't use it for his own personal advantage. But I just wonder if sometimes we don't twist around the sacrifices that we make and try to make them more about us earning from God instead of us giving to God. Or else we try and use the sacrifices as a way to inwardly be disappointed at how things are going. I've given up so much, and I'm not getting back in return what I thought I would have. So we become self-fixated. We become inwardly looking at the sacrifices. We measure how much we've done, and this becomes about us. That's the idea. Sacrifices for God are a good thing, but they become bad when you're selfishly motivated. They become bad when you're half-hearted. They become bad when you consider sacrifices as a way for you to gain from God. Now, certainly the things we give up and commit to God are sacrifices. That's a normal part of Christian life. Deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. That's what Jesus said. As we learn from God more and more about what he is asking of us, and this is personally in our individual walk with God, the response is to offer ourselves to God willingly. In obedience to the things we know, but just to open-endedly offer ourselves as a living sacrifice. That's Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Offer ourselves to God willingly. But, okay, as we begin walking with the Lord and growing in maturity, we should begin to realize that many of these things, if not all, they're going to start to just become plain old duty to God. And no longer some major sacrifice that they felt like at the beginning. Now, I don't mean duty in a negative way here. I just mean in the sense that you've already given up and committed yourself to God. You've given up your life. You've committed yourself to God and to the people around you. And now, once you've already done that, the continued service you give to the Lord is just normal. It's just expected. You're a servant. You're not responsible to the Lord as a servant. You owe him, and you're responsible to the people around you that you've committed to. You're still sacrificing yourself to God in an ongoing way, but is no longer a sacrifice in that initial large sense. Okay, you're just doing what you're supposed to be doing, what God asked you to do and what you committed to. Now, the difference between duty and sacrifice is this. Sacrifice is what you offer. Duty is what you owe. Okay, sacrifice is what you offer, duty is what you owe. Another dimension of this would be duties are the normal responsibilities that you are assigned to your position and place in life, and sacrifices are the things that go above and beyond the normal things. Now, we need both of these things. They can and they do overlap quite a bit. I'm not trying to specify the terms or the categories perfectly here. But you could say that a sense of duty is what keeps you humbly serving God and living for him. And a sense of sacrifice is what helps you continue pressing onward for more. Because the sacrifice is the extra. And I think when we dwell on the old sacrifices that we've made, I think in a sense we're trying to stop where we are and say that I've done enough. Okay, if we would switch in our minds and make those old sacrifices just our normal duty, think of them that way, I think it would be easier to move on from them. I think it would unlock, it would release us from the pattern of wanting to feel like we've already done enough. No, we haven't done enough. We've done what we've owed God. And that's the point I want to make tonight. We owe God everything. And over the course of our lives, he's going to ask us for everything in a progressive, ongoing fashion. Each time, it's going to feel like a little bit extra in that moment, like a sacrifice. And it will be at that time. But really, honestly, and this is where I think we want to make sure our attitude is as a servant to God, we're only giving what we already owe him. It might be more than we previously had, and it might be the first time he's ever asked us for it. And so it is extra. It is a sacrifice. But we already owed it to him in the first place. And so it's just our duty to respond in obedience. And this is the normal expectation, what God asks us to give up, always, every single time. Now, there's one more dimension I want to throw into our consideration. There's another way, okay? Some of us know this well. I wish all of us would come to know it. But for some of us, the things we do for God, they don't really feel like sacrifice or duty. Because even though they are those things, they're more than those things. Okay, they don't really feel like sacrifice or duty because they're just a privilege. It's a joy. And it's not every time, not 100% of the time. You know, we're talking 80, 90, 95%, 98%. The majority of our life serving God is just the privilege and joy, the excitement, the enjoyment of serving God as master and king. Some of the time, the 2 to 10% of the time or 20% of the time, there is a sense of sacrifice and duty, even when we're not feeling personally excited about it or when the thing is just such a negative or a hard situation that it's hard to draw out, you know, that excitement in the moment. But sacrifice and duty keeps us going in those moments. Okay? They're not the pace car for us in this race. They're not leading the way. Our love for God, our closeness with God, it's the fact that we actually enjoy serving God and feel privileged to do so. That's why we're doing it. It's not leaving behind sacrifice or duty. It's not trying to make a third category that supersedes those things. I'm just saying the heart of it is passion for God, love and enjoyment of what God, what being with God is like and what serving God does for us. And that's the ideal. That's the highest. Again, not better, not removed from the other two, but yet it would prevent us from feeling like this is drudgery. It would prevent us from feeling like, haven't I given enough? If you want to do it, you can't give enough. If you're excited about the privilege and the opportunity, the special privilege that God's given you, you won't stop short of the fullness of what he's asking. You'll keep running onward. Okay? Now, it's those three things that I wanted to throw into the mix tonight. I do want to tell you, the first time I got a taste of this was in 2011. I was in the Philippines for the first time. And I remember one morning we're eating breakfast and having a devotional as a team. Pastor Tim's reading from a devotional book, and he's commenting on these ideas that we all make sacrifices to serve the Lord. Okay, but most of the time, for those that are in love with God, that they're wanting to serve God, that they've given their life to him, the so-called sacrifices that they've made, they really don't seem like all that much of a sacrifice at all. And that's because you receive the blessing, the opportunity, the communion with God. And that's such a great reward that in the end, you don't seem like you've lost anything of what you've given up. You actually only seem like you've gained everything because you've gained a new life, real life with God. You've given up, sure. You've sacrificed, yeah. But in the end, you start to wonder, did I lose anything in this situation? I feel like I'm coming out on the better side of the deal here. And I think that's not always, but that's often how it should be. For those that love God and are called according to his purpose, okay, God actually wants us to experience the blessing in that way. Now, back to this story from the Philippines. As a 28-year-old guy, as a new Christian, in order to afford going to the Philippines on that trip, I had used most of the money that I had saved up till that point in time. That earlier in that year, I actually needed a new car, but I had committed myself. I committed to the God, to the other people on the team. I was going to go on this trip to the Philippines, and so all that meant was instead of getting the car I wanted, I found an excellently priced but really just a piece of junk Nissan that lasted about a year. This meant that work-wise, I had all this PTO, a couple of weeks that I could have gone and done something different with, and I used it for the time in the Philippines. I could have even lost my job because I actually went over on my PTO and had to go into the negatives and work off some of the negative. This meant that I wasn't around for some pretty important things that happened in my family that summer. It meant a lot of other inconvenient changes that otherwise I would have chosen. But the call of God, the opportunity of God, the privilege of getting to go do this, that was an exciting prospect to me. So sitting in the Philippines that morning with my friends, serving God, none of those things I missed out on or had given up seemed like any sort of sacrifice at all. It didn't. I felt like it cost me a lot to go there, but it didn't seem like I lost any of it. I gained back more than I gave. Not one for one, not even in the same realm of life or experience or this wasn't a give to God and get blessed back in return. Some of this stuff I couldn't even explain to you why. It was just the joy of it all, the peace, but also the excitement, the eye-opening nature of serving God on the other side of the planet and seeing him kind of steer me in a direction where I didn't know that before, but God might be leading me onward in a certain path. On that particular trip in the Philippines, I got to preach my first sermon ever. Okay, I remember it was on the plains of Loai. Some of you know what that means. On a Saturday night, Pastor Tim asked me if I would preach tomorrow. I'd never done it before. I didn't even know what I was getting into. Scribbled down some notes. The next day, after Sunday morning church, I hopped in the back of a flatbed truck with about 15 other Filipinos, and we just wound our way down the mountain, down to Loai, and did a church service at this outreach church in a small village in Loai. And I remember standing up in front of a group of 30 or 40 people, and it was surreal. I had no idea what I was doing. I didn't know really what I was even saying. But thankfully, there's a translator there, so he cleaned up anything I did wrongly. The 30 or 40 people, I get the blessing of preaching the gospel to them. First time in my life I ever got to do that. You give up to God. You sacrifice your life to God. You give up all the ways that you know he wants you to give yourself up. And you don't just wait to be blessed in return, but certainly the excitement and the closeness with God as he molds and shapes your life, that's worth it in and of itself. Everything else is a blessing on top of that. Well, sometimes God asks us to give up things that are very difficult. I don't know that we would expect that to be an overly joyous occasion. But most, if a lot, of what God asks to give up is simply that we give up our own understanding. We give up our own preferences. Okay? We look to what he asks of us. We lean into his understanding and his priorities. The test from God is not some nitpicky way for God to try and gain control over us. But he wants to bless us. He wants to show us his way is better. He wants to open our eyes to new ways of living and thinking. He wants to release us from the self-limited lives that we're living. All right, so we sacrifice for God. We develop our life as servants, dutifully serving God and just the expected duty of it all. We recognize the privilege of it all too. We serve God because it's a special thing to be asked by God to serve him. Let me read a few verses in closing here, just some things to bring into the discussion as we get going. The first is Luke chapter 17, verse 7 through 10. It says, when a servant comes in from plowing or taking care of his sheep, does his master say, come in and eat with me? No. He says, "Prepare my meal, put on your apron, and serve me while I eat. Then you can eat later." And does the master thank the servant for doing what he was told to do? Of course not. In the same way, when you obey me, you should say, "We are unworthy servants, and we have simply done our duty." Okay, and that was Luke 17, verses 7 through 10, speaking to the idea of duty and servanthood. The next passage is Mark chapter 10. This is verses 28 through 30. Peter began to say to him, "See, we have left everything and followed you." Jesus said, "Truly, I say to you, there was no one who has left house or brothers or sister or mother or father or children or lands for my sake and for the gospel who will not receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life." Okay, that was Mark chapter 10, verse 28 through 30, and that's speaking to the idea of sacrifice. And then lastly, 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. "See how very much the Father loves us, for he calls us his children, and that is what we are. But the people who belong to this world don't recognize that we are God's children because they don't know him. Dear friends, we are already God's children, but what he has not yet shown us, what we will be like when Christ appears. But we do know that we will be like him, for we will see him as he really is. And all who have this eager expectation will keep themselves pure, just as he is pure." Okay, that was 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 through 3, talking about the idea of privilege, what a privilege it is to be called a child of God. Well, we'll wrap up our broadcast for tonight. And for all of you out there who are going into discussion, God bless. Have a good, encouraging time with each other. Challenge each other. Grow together in faith. And we'll see you all on Sunday. God bless.